Morning, church. I would like to thank Sister Brown for the commendations, and also I'm asking for you to pray for Kelsey at this time. To all our visitors, even to those who came in after the welcome, to all of you, Sister Oslyn Griffin and family, thank you for gracing Gingerland with your presence, and may as we worship together that we may all receive the blessing that is in store for us. Amen. Around this time of year, a lot of focus is on, as we would call it, Easter. And as one would comment at work, we look at the Easter egg. And what is the relevance? They look at kite flying, look at conky and dumpling and saltfish. But today, we are going to focus on just what we are to be focusing on, and that is Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. And even as we congregate here in your sanctuary, be with us. Be with the words that will come from my mouth. May they be acceptable in your sight. And may we all receive a blessing and leave here different than we came. In Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us have grown up hearing the story of Jesus and who he is. But how much do you really know about him? He is this man who gave up his life so we could live. Today we will investigate who he is and what that means for us. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4 verse 16, God is love. Say that with me. God is love. The Bible also tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later in the same chapter, we read in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Followers of Christ believe that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. So we can conclude that Jesus is God. God is love, so Jesus too is love. Those who have a relationship with Jesus claim to know this for sure. My friends, we are going to take our Bibles and we are going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. First Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. Let's read together. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That's it. Thank you. Yes, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Because Jesus is love, let's read the text this way to better understand who he is. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus doesn't envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered, and Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Yes, my friends, Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Jesus never fails. In the chapter entitled As a Child in the book Desire of Ages, Ellen White describes Jesus's younger years as follows. The life of Jesus was a life of harmony with God. While he was a child, he thought and spoke as a child, but no trace of sin marred the image of God within him. Yet, he was not exempt from temptation. The inhabitants of Nazareth were proverbial for their wickedness. The low esteem in which they were generally held is shown by Nathanael's question, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Jesus was placed where his character would be tested. It was necessary for him to be constantly on guard in order to preserve his purity. He was subject to all these conflicts which we have to meet, and he might be an example to us in childhood, youth, and manhood. Church, doesn't this make you want to know Jesus? Long ago, heaven witnessed a challenge to Jesus's genuine character. Dissatisfied with his role in heaven, Lucifer led a rebellion, questioning God's authority and his love for all of creation. Although heaven operated under God's law of perfect love, God was unwilling to force his perfect love on any of his creations. The Bible tells us that there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Lucifer had a choice between God's selfless love and his own selfishness, and he chose to challenge God's law and character of love. What choice are we making today, young people? Satan's sole desire is to replace God on his throne. In Isaiah chapter 5, as we would now read, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And I would like all the young people to read these two verses. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. We read, "For thou hast said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will lie the Most High. Yes, that's the I man. Lucifer wants to have God's power, but not his character. This struggle between God and Satan is described as a war in Revelation 12, verses 7 to 9. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Adam and Eve, under the law of perfect love and free will, were given the choice in whom to believe, God or Satan. Unfortunately, because they chose Satan's way, our world is now stained with the curse of sin and the misery sin brings. But don't fret, my brothers and sisters. God gives us hope. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 states that while one man's life got the human race into sin, through another man's life, which is Jesus, we can be saved from sin. Jesus came to this world not only to save us, but also to demonstrate his true identity once and for all. Time and time again, God has proven himself to be compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love, in loving kindness and truth. Jesus is mighty. He is glorious and majestic beyond all human understanding. Even more difficult to comprehend are the depths of his love and compassion. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice and imagine with me as I share this story. Joshua sighed. Everything felt perfect today. As he walked through town on his way home, neighbors greeted him warmly and little children ran alongside him, for everyone loved Joshua. Striding to the door of his home, he was greeted by his father's welcome. Joshua and his father had always dreamed of having an ant farm, an A-N-T farm. Finally, that dream had become a reality. Close your eyes. And Joshua loved to take care of his ants. Much to Joshua's dismay, however, shortly after he established his ant farm, the ants ate a poisonous plant and contracted a deadly disease. The ants frequently grumbled to themselves that it was all Joshua's fault. If only he had taken better care of us. Joshua tried to ease their pain as much as he could, but no matter what he tried, the ants always accused him of being overprotective and controlling. Neighbors whispered that Joshua should allow the poison to kill all the ants so he could start over a new set of ants. Some suggested that he might speed up the process by wearing his hiking boots and step on all the ants. But Joshua was horrified by these suggestions. He would never do such a thing. Open your eyes, please. On the contrary, before he even began this ant farm, Joshua had realized the possibility that the ants might contract this disease. So he and his father had a plan to counteract its spread. It happened to be on this particular day, as Joshua watched his ants with compassion, that he decided it was time to put his plan into action. As he watched his beloved ants ambling around so sickly, Joshua called his father into the room. "It's time," Joshua said without turning around. "Are you sure you want to do this?" his father replied. "You don't have to if you don't want to." "It's the only way to save them, Dad," Joshua countered. "You and I both know that. I love them so much. I have to do this." The two of them sat in silence as they watched the ants. Joshua reviewed the plan in his hand. First, he would have to become an ant. He shuddered at the thought. Become an ant? Give up who I am forever? Secondly, he would have to live as the ants, but avoid contracting the disease. He knew it was possible, but the plant's fruit looked like it would taste delicious, so the ants were unable to resist tasting only once. And a single taste was all that was necessary. Joshua had tried to warn the ants about the plants, but they didn't listen. Next, he would offer the ants the cure. He knew they would make fun of him, mock him, and laugh at him while he was one of them. He would never fit in. He would never receive the love he received in his current home. The glory, the admiration, always cease to be. Joshua's father interrupted his thoughts. "They will kill you," he said. "Many of the ants will reject you and the cure you bring. They will label you as an intruder, and they will kill you." "Yes," said Joshua, "I know, but some will accept me after I'm gone." "If just one," Joshua's eyes filled with tears as he turned around and looked into his father's eyes. "If just one of them believes me and accept the cure I bring, this mission will be a success. I really want to do this." By now, you've realized that in this story, Joshua represents Jesus, while the ants represent you and me and every other human being that has ever lived or will live on earth. As part of the heavenly plan, Jesus left a world of indescribable glory and immeasurable perfection and love. He risked everything to save even just one person and prove his character of love. He left behind the life that he has designed for us. Can you imagine how much love Jesus has for each of us if he was willing to die the death that we deserve? And he died so that we can someday live the life that he left behind and receive the reward he deserves. Did you get that? Let me read it again. He died so that we can someday live the life that he left behind and receive the reward he deserves. Compared to his majesty and splendor, we are less than the size of Joshua's ants. But he became one of us to save us and show his love for us. He loves us so much that he has even laid out a plan for us to follow, that we can become more like the wonderful being he is. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us that, "Unlike a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he came so that we could have life, and not just any life, but an abundant life." Amen. teens, youths, adults. Jesus wants us to live an abundant life as he did when he was here on earth. He offers us a life of unshakable joy, joy that permeates all being, regardless of the circumstances of today or the worries of tomorrow. He offers us a life of unfathomable peace. Peace through him when our world is crashing down all around us. Oh yes, he offers us a relationship with him that allows us to talk with him about anything in prayer and know that he won't judge us or hurt us. Amen. He offers us identity in being his beloved, acceptable child, but not just any child, the child that he gave his life for. He offers us a purpose in life, not in the future when we are older, smarter, and more experienced. Rather, he offers us purpose now. Does this sound appealing? Is this something you want to have? Thank you, darling. For this week, we will be looking at how you can have this kind of relationship with Jesus. You cannot know unless you search the Word of God or you are present. It's time to take time and cry out to see Jesus for who he is and who he wants to be in our lives. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who have we besides our friends? Who have we besides him, besides our friends? Will you choose to see Jesus for who he really is? I sure plan to be, and I sure that I would encourage others, and I know that you want to be a part of his plan. God has a plan, and his plan is not for me, but his plan is for all of us. So let's avail ourselves and be among that number who would be in the heavenly kingdom. God bless you, and thanks for listening.